The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
He had the right lingo. He had the right look. He was in the ministry, quote unquote. But behind closed doors for about 3 years, he would beat me physically. And I remember...
So hard to believe.
It was just, yeah, so just having that. And I remember one night just asking the Lord to take me in my sleep.
Nicole C. Mullen shares lessons she learned about trusting God to help her do the right thing. Next.
Well, I'm James Robinson, and my wife Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. We've got a wonderful guest that is very much loved and very popular. Her name is Nicole Mullen, and she's got a book here now. It's Never Wrong to Do the Right Thing. Why would you ever wonder about that? It's pretty easy to do, but I think after you listen to her, and hopefully you'll get the book, but I think what you hear today is going to really, really bless you. Nicole's been here several times with us. She's been our guest at our Christmas banquet. She just blessed so many people all over the world. Nicole, it's good to have you back on Life Today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thanks so very much.
Thanks for being our friend.
My pleasure.
I want you to take off on the situation. We realize that sometimes it's painful, it seems like, to do the right thing, but it's right to do it. But can you tell us about the journey of pain that started, you know, when you were quite young and you had enough stuff thrown at you that you could be wondering, well, why was it hard to do the right thing for you? And when they know awful things that happen, then they might understand. Mm-hmm. But it's never wrong to do the right thing.
That's right.
Take off with that, would you?
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me. You know, I'm so thrilled because the Lord has been good, even through the good and the bad. And I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. You know, my parents were deacons in the church. My grandparents were Pentecostal pastors on both sides of the family. So I love to say I was in church like 8, 9, 10 days a week, like all the time. But it was in the midst of another circumstance that I really had a chance to learn the heart of God. And when I was around 20, almost 21, I said I do to a man that I thought on the outside that he was just the one. He had the right lingo. He had the right look. He was in the ministry, quote unquote. But behind closed doors for about 3 years, he would beat me physically. And I remember...
So hard to believe.
It was just, yeah, so just having that. And I remember one night just asking the Lord to take me in my sleep. And I love it because sometimes the best yes the Lord will give us is in the form of a no. And so the Lord gave me that no, but he awakened me the next day because he wasn't done with me. And a lot of the encouragement that he has given me throughout the years in him carrying me through different night seasons are found in the Word. And so I found encouragement in a story of Abigail. You know, Abigail in 1 Samuel 25, and she had a husband named Nabal. And the Bible says he was little on the foolish side, you know. And he was actually bringing danger to their home. And Abigail found the courage to do the right thing because she ran for safety. She ran for interference. She ran to David to say, hey, I didn't know about what he had said to you. I didn't know about him saying no for your request, you know, of goods. And so David was going to come and bring disaster. And so she ran interference. And in doing that, God allowed her to save their whole household. And so she acted wisely. And she also entrusted her husband to the Lord. She didn't go along with the wrong. She didn't go along with the danger. She didn't go along with the evil. She stood up for righteousness. And because of that, like I said, God brought safety. And so it gave me the courage in the midst of my night season to say, it's okay to run for safety sometimes. Sometimes you're going to have to appeal to someone else and say, we need help here. I need to, like, what do I need to do? And so her courage gave me courage in the midst of that night season. And it also led me back to just even the origins of my family. You know, God has been good to my family, like I said earlier, and I was able to write about them in the book as well. But my grandmother, you know, back in the day, her and my grandfather, you know, they were young 20-somethings, you know, when they got married. And just so happened today is her birthday. It would have been her birthday. But they had gotten married and they were living in the South. And they had lost their first child because they had a baby soon after. And so they moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, where I was born and raised. And before you knew it, they had another son. God had gifted them with another child. Well, everybody was happy. And then all of a sudden, the doctors told my grandmother, after she had had her newborn, to just leave him in the hospital. This is 1936, because he wasn't going to make it. Well, that didn't sit well with her, because she loved life and she believed Christ. And she had remembered something in the scripture that said that if someone is sick, take them to the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. So she defied the doctor's orders, and she said, uh-uh. She said, I'm taking my baby. She took him to the house of God, and the elders prayed, and because of that, the Lord granted him life, and he lived. And so eventually, this young son of hers, he grew up, and he began to sing. He sang like Nat King Cole, and he found, you know, he met a woman. She was, well, 16 at the time, and he was 25. I mean, we don't do that these days, but it would work. But anyway, they got married, and they had three beautiful girls, and I'm the youngest of the three.
Oh, wow.
And so without my grandmother standing up for life, without my grandmother fighting for her son to live, I wouldn't be here. I would have no existence. And so I honor her. I honor her tenacity. I honor her in the face of a diagnosis of, no, he's not going to live, or no, he shouldn't live, because there are those who maybe didn't want him to live either. But she said, no, his life is valuable. And so because of her example, they have taught me to value life from the womb to the tomb. And so after that, my grandparents, they went on and they had other children. They became foster parents, and eventually they adopted children. And so from that, as my parents, they grew, they also became foster parents. And then they adopted two of my siblings. And then as I grew, you know, as I was growing, you know, I saw my aunts and uncles, they did the same. My sister, she became a foster mom. And then eventually, when it was my turn, I was able to take in some children. They were, you know, unofficially foster kids, but then I was able to officially adopt. So my oldest son is adopted. He was adopted at the age of 3.5 weeks old. He is now 28, and he's married, and he has my first grandson. He and his wife are looking to eventually adopt and increase their families also. And so from their legacy, from their examples, they did not just teach us to value life in your words, but when you value life, when you're protecting life, it causes you to do something. And sometimes that will cause you to be inconvenienced, but life is worth it because life matters. And because of that, it's like my heart is to protect life. My heart is to speak up for life. My heart is to say, if you've, you know, even if you've made a bad decision in the past, because I know a lot of my sister girls, they've made, you know, not so good decisions in the past. And I've been there. I've been tempted, you know, but there's forgiveness for whatever it is that we repent of. And there's healing for whatever is broken on the inside of us, and Christ is the cure. And so for those who may have made a wrong decision, there's grace and there's mercy. God loves them. Yes. He cares about them.
That's right.
And he wants to make them the biggest champion for life. And for those who are looking to adopt, the Lord, I believe he has the right someone out there, the right child out there to help increase their families. And I believe there are other roles for people who may not be an adoptive family, but they might be someone who can help facilitate that adoption. And there's grace for them too. And so a lot of that's included in the book, you know, but it's never wrong to do the right thing.
Well, you know, what we're doing with the Rescue Life is we're giving a home and a future to those who had no hope, no future, those who've been taken prisoner. And we can actually get in. We actually work with law enforcement now to go in and get them out of the place where they're being held captive and take them into a new place in another area where they're safe. And then we find many of them who are vulnerable to be taken, and we show them a way. Many of these children, Betty, which we've seen, they go out to where the children live in impoverished areas, and they will actually go up to the family and say, we're going to give your daughter a future. We're going to get them a job. We're going to get them trained, and we'll give you $100 for your child, or we'll give you a television or a radio, which they have nothing. And they will actually trade the child, believing the child is going to get help, but they don't. They take them, literally take them captive and take them where the parents can't find them, and they use them. And we set them free, and then we show people how they can love, and that's what our viewers do. Well, it's never wrong to do the right thing. What are some of the things that you think people might feel like it's a strain to do this. It's difficult to do this. Some of them you touch on in the book.
Yes, I think sometimes people may think that certain times it's too expensive. It may cost me too much. But I think if we are saying, okay, Lord, I belong to you and life matters, then there's really no price that's too great because Christ has already set the example. You know, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So when we are saying that we love someone, the next thing that we're called to do is really to give. And really the proof of our love for Christ is our obedience to his word. And also, it's like the proof that we are living out our faith is that we are attaching it with our works. And so if we're saying, I believe in freedom, I believe in the children, I believe in life, then we are called to either be someone to take these children in, I believe, or we're called to support ministries like yours who are saying, hey, I want to help, you know, facilitate the rescue, the livelihood, the freedom of a child. You know, we're sure. called to put mm-hmm. faith and works together. Otherwise, our faith is dead if it's just something that we say but we don't do.
Well, I think too, and you were kind of related to it earlier in just through your story, is we kind of tend to think, okay, God, I love you with all my heart. You're in my heart. Mm-hmm. Now it should be smooth going. We've been yes. greatly deceived. God
Absolutely.
Never promised that.
He did not.
He said, hold on to me and trust me in all ways, yes. and I will bring you and give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
Which is like we married, we had our first child, and then I wanted more children so, so bad, and it just wasn't happening. And I've been to the doctor, and they said, well, to be honest with you, you've had some physical challenges. I don't think you'll ever have another child. Mm. Well, that broke my heart. Mm. So I immediately went to God. I said, God, this was the desire of my heart. Wow. What's going on? He said, trust me. Okay. And then 5 years later, Rhonda was about 5, God brought this little precious boy into our hearts. We adopted him. And 3 years later, God answered the desire of my heart. I had another child that I wasn't supposed to have. So if we just wait for God, we don't get in a hurry, but we follow the path that he's put us on
yes.
and be faithful.
Yes.
He will lead us in the right way.
Yes, and amen. Ooh, that'll preach in itself. That also reminds me, Miss Betty, of the story of Hannah. And I speak about Hannah in the Bible, too. She was actually barren, and she couldn't have any children. And she was taunted by another woman who kept making fun of her. And she poured out her heart to God, and she was like, God, if you give me what I want the most, I'm going to give this child back to you. And, you know, in my head, it's kind of like, you know, thinking, you know, saying, God, if you give me $1 million, I'm going to give you the whole 1 million. I'm not just going to pay my tithe. I'm going to give it all, you know. And so, but she's like, she knew that she could never give to God more than he would multiply back to her. And so she prayed and she asked God and she poured out her heart to him. And the Lord heard her. And immediately after she poured her heart out to God, the Bible says that her countenance changed, like her face was no longer downcast mm-hmm. and her appetite returned. Her appetite for life returned because she had poured out her heart and she believed by faith he had heard her and that he would grant to her what she had requested of him. And then in the course of time, God allowed her to become pregnant. And we know that her son was Samuel. You know, he was the you know, one of the mightiest judges and prophets in Israel. And he began to rule, you know, before they had a king. And he's the one who installed King Saul and King David. And so, but it started with a woman who decided to ask God, to go to God with her hurt and her heartache. A woman who decided, Lord, this is the desire of my heart. And you said that if I trust in you, you would give me what to desire and then you would fulfill it. And so she took him up at his word that she must have perceived in her heart. And the Lord answered. And so regardless of what it is that we're asking God for, because we all have night seasons, we all have desires, we all have things that we feel like at times have been withheld from us.
Yeah.
But God's timing is perfect. And I think sometimes he withholds things so that we will ask mm-hmm. for the right thing
yeah.
at the right time.
That's right.
And then he can show off and he can flex as our hero.
You know, one of the most powerful incidents in the Bible you talk about in the book, it's never wrong, do the right thing. And it's the three men
yes.
that were thrown in the fire.
Yes.
That has really, really blessed me because
yes.
the most powerful thing about it says, you know, God's able to rescue us.
Come
we can, if the fire won't get us. But even if it does, we're still not going to bow down to anyone but God. Yeah. We are not going to worship your idols. We're not going to worship you as king. We're not going to do it.
Yes.
And I thought, boy, that is exactly right. But how did that story bless you so much?
Well, and I think really, Mr. Jim, it's like this is where we live, because a lot of times we feel like, okay, God can do it and he's going to do it. But sometimes we get offended with God with the even if he doesn't. But that's where he causes us to say, okay, even if I don't, will you worship me? Will you love me? And I've had those moments. I thought, well, here I am. I was a good kid. I gave my heart to you at the age of 8, went to Bible school at the age of 17. I loved you. I kept myself. And God, I got abused. I had hard times. And I thought that it would keep me from it. Mm-hmm. But I think the real question, like you're asking, was, would I still serve him? Even if he didn't rescue me in my timing, even if he didn't keep me from hardship, and my answer has to be yes.
Yeah, even if he doesn't do it the way you think he should.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's what we all have to answer often. And it's not even a one-time test. Mm-hmm. I think it's an everyday test, because if my answer is, no, I won't worship you beyond this, then really I'm saying that thing was my God and not you. And he said, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. And so my aim and my purpose is in everything to give him thanks. Sometimes it's hard to give him thanks for everything, I'm not going to lie. But in everything, we are commanded to say, God, I will worship you. I will believe you. I will trust you. I will hold on to what you've already said, no matter what.
Yeah, that was a powerful statement you just made. You didn't say thank him for it. Mm-hmm. But in those things, thank him.
Yes.
Because he's still God. He's still able. He's still in control. Give him the time to work it out. And you just deal in such a magnificent way. You not only have a great voice and ability to sing and write great songs, but this book is great. And it's never wrong to do the right thing. And you're facing many challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be watching today as though you're the only one watching. God says, I got more than just the program and Nicole and Betty and James, I've got something I think will be a real blessing to you. So here's what we're asking you to do. Just help us rescue those who are trafficked, sexually trafficked, mostly girls, some boys. But we have literally now saved the lives of millions of people all over the world. And we've been doing this for nearly 20 years. We built huge rescue places like the House of Destiny, all these different places. You did it. Betty, they saw the people suffering. They saw the opportunity to express God's love, and you've done it. We need you to do it again. And by the way, we have some gifts to offer you. Don't miss getting the greatest, most beautiful pro I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you, I will be using this. I have poor blood flow in my legs, and I use a throw, and that one is going to be the throw, and you will want it. But anyway, just help us set people free. Please make the best gift you can. It takes $128 to rescue one. How about rescue 10 or 12, 80? Father, show people that they can do more than they might have thought. It may be the biggest thing they've ever done. But for the person and the individuals they rescue, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to them. They've been given life. In Jesus' name, please just let God direct you in what you do. I want you to look in on a situation where you will see and hear from our mission workers and see the love and the compassion and the courage and the blessing they're able to bestow because of people like you. You are a miracle worker that many people thought they would never see. Watch it prayerfully. Watch it carefully.
Mùa hồ bây ấy thì nhiều. Hãy tới việc đặt thân em nhóm ở đây. Hãy ngập lắng. Ngập lắng. Kê thở ấy nhóm ấy.
From the bright lights to the brothels, on any given night all around the world, there are millions of young girls who thought they were going to work in a legitimate job only to find themselves in a situation just like Kim, where their lives were turned upside down by sex traffickers. And that's where Life Outreach's partners step in to rescue girls who have been forced into prostitution by human traffickers.
Whenever we're able to arrest a trafficker, it's a huge win, because not only does it mean that place is shut down, but that might mean that tens or maybe even hundreds of girls won't be trafficked because of that.
SWAT raids are just one of the means our mission partners use to rescue girls. Others will reach out one-on-one and befriend girls who feel trapped in the world of sex trafficking. Once girls are taken into our mission partners' safe houses, their lives are forever changed.
I want to see them to have a safe place to stay. I want them to have people in their life who they can trust. And I want them to keep fighting for a better future and fighting for the goal that they have in life. And I want to see them still living with hope, because I believe that when they come here, it's not an accident. God plans for them, and His plan always for good.
I don't know how you could watch and see those precious girls and boys that are being held as sex slaves and not want to set them free. We can. We can. Because we found the people that have so much love that they plant God's love right in the midst of that pain and suffering. Maybe they move their families from all over the world to go there. But they have to have support to be there. You know, I told the missionaries, Betty, let us come over here and just stay here and help you. They said, please don't. It wasn't that they didn't like us or want us. They said, please go back and get us help so we can stay here and not be empty-handed. Please do that. We came back. We did not know if anybody would help. You have amazed us. You have put God's arms around more overlooked people and abused people and trafficked people and damaged people than you could ever imagine. Thank you. Thank you in their behalf. So we're asking you right now in what we call Mission Rescue Life, help us rescue thousands and thousands of children and those who are being trafficked. It costs an average of $128 to rescue, that's reach, rescue, and restore. Begin that process. That's what it costs. Would you rescue one? Would you give $1,280 and rescue 10? I always ask people, Betty, to think bigger than you normally do. Think, well, I could do more than I thought I could do. God will enable you to do it. So make the very best gift or gifts you can. Please, we have some gifts to send you that I promise you will really bless you. We got the most beautiful throw I have ever seen. And we have great books to inspire you. And you can get, if you would like to have it, Nicole's book, It's Never Wrong to Do the Right Thing. And I want to promise you right now, it's the right thing to rescue the perishing, to care for those who are in prison, who are held captive. You can set them free. Please, get your bank card, use it like a check, write a check, make it to Life, because that's what you're giving. I want you right now to simply do what God's led you to do. Please, Father, help each person watching to reach out and touch someone with your love right now. Those who can give a large gift to help us complete the Life Center restoration so we can have a place immediately for 50 more girls, God, give us that miracle in Jesus' name. There are ways that you can help. No gift too small, no gift too large, because the greatest gift is the gift of life, and that comes from His love through you. Thank you so much.
Innocent children longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, your gift today of only $128 will help reach, rescue, or restore a child and change their destiny forever. Gifts of $64 or $32 will be combined with support from others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of sexual slavery. Currently, our Life Rescue Centers in Southeast Asia are at maximum capacity. More space is urgently needed, and we must complete and renovate a new rescue home immediately. Please consider a very special extra gift, as we urgently need $1.25 million above our normal budget to complete and renovate this place of hope. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Power, Provision, and Peace, bringing together the life-changing truths of Acts, Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians in the Passion Translation. These books come alive with fresh revelation and timeless power. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the beautiful and soft Perfect Peace Blanket, bearing the words of Isaiah 26:3 as a meaningful reminder that those who trust in the Lord are never alone. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will help save 10 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I just want to take this opportunity to thank James and Betty Robison and Life Outreach Organization for partnering with us to reach, to rescue, and restore these beautiful girls with our anti-human trafficking border monitoring work in that part of South Asia. There are children who are dying. There are women who are asking for help. And we're looking to you, my friends. You have the opportunity to make the greatest impact that you have ever made in life. When you see the girls being trafficked and being rescued and reunited with the family, and girl being set free and now building her own life, what an impact you have made with your giving. Together, we can make a huge difference in the lives of these beautiful souls. Thank you again.
I tell you what, get this throw. Make that $128 gift, would you please? The other gifts we send you, this is a fabulous bronze. I think this may be my favorite. It's the Lion of Judah, but it's the cross that gives the Lion of Judah his power and God's power in all of us. If you'd like to have Nicole's book, well, just ask for it. You make a gift to help us help others, and we will send it to you. Famous song, Redeemed. Boy, this put her on the chart. And she came with Redeemed. We're going to have her in the next program with her, and she's going to tell the story of Redeemed and sing it for you. Don't miss that. Tell your friends to watch. Nicole, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to see you in the next program, okay?
Looking forward to it.
And we're going to hear about Redeemed.
Yes, we will.
And we're going to hear Redeemed.
Yes, you will.
Thanks for watching. Thanks so much for helping, for putting your arms around the overlooked. God bless you.
I'll be your refuge, hide under my wing.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience.
Nicole C. Mullen describes how her classic hit song, Redeemer, came to be.
In the midst of a night season is when he gave it to me, not on a mountaintop.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.